What does it mean to be human? Are humans merely biological robots, so to speak, a product of chance, programmed by the forces of evolution, and without any real freedom? A lot of people would say yes, that we don't really have choice, that we're just the products of the laws of physics. But are we meant for more? Are we meant to realize that we were created to the image and likeness of God, adoptive children of God through baptism into Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We were destined for the freedom of the children of God, not to sell ourselves back into slavery to sin. When the Lord called Abraham to travel from his home in Ur to a new land, and he didn't tell him where he was going, by the way, he promised to give him and his descendants the land that he would show him. He promises Abraham the land, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and finally that his descendant would be a blessing to all the nations. And in today's reading, God seals those promises with an oath, forming a covenant with Abraham. God has Abraham, in a ritual that, if you paid attention to the first reading, probably had you scratching your head, bring him certain animals, clean animals, that would make suitable sacrifices. Because you can't just offer anything to the Lord. It has to be certain ritually clean or pure animals. And then had him cut these animals in half and lay them out on the ground in two rows with a path in between them. Now, at the beginning of the reading, it was nighttime, right? God told Abraham, look at the stars in the sky. And as Abraham sits there all day, keeping vigil, waiting for the Lord. And then when night falls again, God appears to Abraham as fire, as a pot of fire and as a flaming torch, representing the presence of God, and passes through the animals, the in between the pieces of the animals, forming a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. What does that mean? Well, by passing through the animals, the Lord is saying, I give my oath, my word, that if I fail to keep these promises, let what happened to these animals happen to me. In other words, that his promise is sure and certain as the life of God itself. Unfortunately, in our readings, we leave out a part of what God promises to Abraham. So he tells him, know of a surety that your descendants will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be slaves there. And they will be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation which they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. This promise is about the Exodus, when God delivered the descendants of Abraham from slavery in Egypt and led them into the promised land, making them his own chosen people. There's a worse slavery that God wants to save us from. Not the political and physical slavery, but moral and spiritual slavery. As we read in our second reading from St. Paul, for many, as I have told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach, Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. Slaves are taken by force and bought and sold against their will. But when we sin, we willingly enslave ourselves to forces that are beneath us. We think these things will make us happy. And in the short term, we may even be right. But our experience thinks for itself, speaks for itself. We know that every time we sin, it leads ultimately to more misery. Every time we choose sin, we know that we choose away from happiness. That in the long term, holiness is the only path to true and lasting happiness. But we keep doing what we know is wrong over and over, and usually in the same ways. What we need is a new exodus and a new covenant. On Mount Tabor, the mountain of the Transfiguration, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for this new exodus. He gives Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his glory to strengthen their faith, knowing that their faith will be tested as never before by his crucifixion and death. Then it says, "And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem." Moses and Elijah represent the two parts of the Old Testament, the law, the first five books, Moses, and the prophets, the rest, represented by Elijah. And they're talking to Jesus about his crucifixion, calling it his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Through his crucifixion, Jesus will accomplish the new exodus to free his people from slavery to sin and death. Well, if that's the new exodus, what about the new covenant? Well, another word for covenant is testament. And I bet you've heard of the New Testament before. But nowhere in the New Testament does it call itself the New Testament. That phrase only appears once in the Bible, at the Last Supper, when Jesus takes the chalice filled with wine and, giving it to his disciples, tells them, "Take this and drink of it. This is the chalice of the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in commemoration of me." In the Bible, the term for new covenant or New Testament refers to the crucifixion of Jesus and to the Mass, the Last Supper being the first Mass, in which we commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through the Eucharist, we are united to Jesus Christ and become children of God, which was God's plan for us all along. We are not just restored to the grace that we lost through sin, but lifted up to an even higher place. I'll let Pope St. Leo the Great have the last words from one of his Christmas homilies. "Christian, remember your dignity. And now that you share in God's own nature, do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Through the sacrament of baptism, you have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not drive away so great a guest by evil conduct and become again a slave to the devil. For your liberty was bought by the blood of Christ.